Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald Riley, and unfortunately, once again, my sweetheart, my amazing wife, shout out Katasha Riley. She cannot be with us today because she is at the Overflow Salon and Barbershop holding it down for Team Riley. Yeah, that's right. Hey, listen, we are broadcasting all the way from Columbus, Georgia to Eufaula, Alabama and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday conversation is near and dear to me because I am a black business owner and we're talking about business in the local area. But before I get started, let me introduce to you, I'm sure most of you already know him, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr.
Dr. Johnny Lee Newsom Jr.
You heard that, Dr. Johnny Lee Newsom Jr. Can I call you Doc? What do you want me to call you? Mr. Businessman, Doc?
Mr. Riley, whatever fits your boat. I'm with you.
Okay, I'm going to say Doc because I believe when people have put in the time to get that handle on their name, I'm going to respect that handle.
I appreciate that.
Outstanding. You also a military man?
I did 21 years, 11 Bravo Infantry Ranger.
Okay, so he's a tough guy. He's a tough guy, so you don't want to mess with him. We're going to go ahead and get started. First question, Dr. Newsom, why is business knowledge as important as passion and purpose in entrepreneurship?
Well, if you had to start out with a question, that is the most powerful question that you could ever start out, because why is it so important? It's because of the growth and scalability of your business. See, most people go into business knowing they're good with their hands, they're good with their minds, they're good with a service or whatever the case may be. But on the other side of that, that's a business. So because of that reason, there are certain rules that you need to follow or understand. At one point, the growth and the scalability needs to go to another level.
Outstanding. Now, in my field, I don't know if it contradicts what you say, but all because you're good at something, does that mean you need to go into business?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And this is why, you know, some people are, let's say, a good carpenter, right?
Correct.
And you give them a piece of wood or a tool, and they can just like, you say, wow, how did you do that? But then on the business side, as in, and we got some questions to go on the business side, there's other principles to go in it. Now, they might be able to see, it's a difference of having a hobby and a business. I heard that.
Okay, come on.
It's a difference between having a hobby in a business. Because if you have a legitimate business, a legal business, now you're talking about the IRS and the federal government, the Secretary of State.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. 1099.
All that good stuff.
Yeah, right? Business plans and the whole nine yards. Outstanding, man. I'm telling you, man, this show is going to be amazing. Hey, listen, just in case you're joining us for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Dr. Newsom, and we're talking about why black business education is crucial for black entrepreneurship. Amen. Now, question number two, Dr. Newsom. What industries are black entrepreneurs underrepresented, and why should we care?
You know, being in business entrepreneurship, owning four companies in a federal nonprofit organization for homeless veteran women and children, I realize a lot of black entrepreneurs are not going out there seeking government contracts,
mm-hmm.
right? They believe that it is impossible to get one. No. First of all, you got to believe in you before anybody else believe in you. It's a faith of a mustard seed will move mountains if you just believe. So I believe based off of that question in entrepreneurship, you know, there's so many government contracts or government funding that we're not tapping into that market.
Well, I kind of tapped into it a little bit. And let me tell you, it's intimidating trying to secure those government contracts, the paperwork, trying to get your DEMS number and SAMS number. Listen, it's very intimidating. I have sat in rooms and bidded on contracts, not just in this area, but in other areas. And let me tell you, that is very, because most of the times when you're in these rooms, the people in these rooms already have bidded and have contracts.
Mm-hmm.
and you're coming in as a new person trying to figure this thing out.
Right.
And nobody at that desk is holding you by the hand saying, hey, X, Y, and Z. And, because they don't want you to get it.
And I will agree. One is building relationships. And number two, and I hate to say it, but they said if you want to keep it from a man of color, put it where?
In a book.
Why?
Because we don't read.
There we go.
But now you, but just the thing, you don't even have to read anymore. It's audio books.
Correct.
Just press play.
And we're not doing it.
Come on, man. Come on. Come on. We got to get better, people. Okay, my next question. From your experience, what do you think are the biggest gaps in business knowledge for first-time entrepreneurs? Kind of like highlighted what I said. When you go into that room for the first time and you don't have the experience, you really don't know what to expect. It's intimidating. And a lot of us are scaling back.
Correct.
Because of this.
I got the answer.
Come on, I'm listening.
Knowing your value. Knowing how much you are worth.
Okay.
Right? So when you're conducting business and you have a business plan, you know, I seen one time, I give you a prime example, on the show called Shark Tank. And Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, asked these three ladies based off in what they needed to scale. He said, I'll buy your company for $33 million. And a lady looked at him and said, no. The other guy said, well, hold on now. When Mark asked you to buy your company for $33 million, you didn't even flinch. She said, because I already know the value of my company.
So how do you know the value of your company?
So based off in statistic, there's 9 times out of 10, whatever your company is, there's another company out there.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So have you researched that company? How you scaled that company? Did you learn about that company? What are you going to do that that company is not doing? So I give you a prime example. Roughly 5-6 months ago, I had a grand opening of my beauty salon.
Downtown.
Uptown Beauty Salon.
Roger that.
And I said to myself, when I looked at the industry, I went to a couple shops, so forth and so on. So right now we have barbering, hairstylist, manicure, pedicure, facial, waxing, all these entities. And I based it off in, as in a husband and wife having a date weekend. See, he would have to go to a barbershop somewhere across town while she's getting a manicure.
You consolidated it. The dollar doesn't leave.
I'm the only shop like that in the city.
And you know what? That is, because I'm in that industry, that is a hard thing to do. And I congratulate you on that.
Absolutely.
And I look, I know why it's a hard thing to do, but I'll tell you about that off air.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right. Amen. So let's get into choosing the right business structure.
Oh, wow.
LLCs, S-Corps, partnership.
All that.
Sole proprietor. You didn't have all that on there. I just threw that. You know, I went past the parentheses on that.
That's
okay,
right.
But go ahead, though.
So choosing the right business structure. You know, so many people just say, hey, like you asked the other question previous to, is it a hobby or a business, right? So now we say we're going to make a legitimate paper business on paper, right? First thing we're going to go through is our Secretary of State. For us in here in Georgia, it's actually in Atlanta, right? So now do I choose between a LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp, sole provider, so forth and so on, right? So understand, LLCs is limited liability companies, right? The most important thing about that is you have the flexibility on ownership.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of people don't know that, right? You have the flexibility. When you go to an S-Corp and C-Corp, they're actually holding companies, right? And you have bigger restrictions when it comes to taxes and so forth. There's more paperwork that you have to qualify and submit for that because it puts you in a higher tax bracket, right? And that's the key. So one of my business is helping new business owners, right, and new business entities. And we want to scale that business correctly on paper. There's so many people want funding, right? Because what is the goal? Is it best to use your money or somebody else's money? Somebody else's money. So how do you get somebody else's money? The banks give out money every single day. You just got to qualify for it.
Right.
Right. So now when you say LLCs, from there, we want to what? We want to put our business in a holding company. Most importantly, next step is put that holding company in a trust. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I'm the trustee. The number one question is, what do you own? Nothing. But you control everything. Because the LLC and the holding company owns everything.
So they can't come at you personally, they come at you the business.
Absolutely not. They can't do none of that. Because your trust can't be touched.
We need to talk more about trust later on.
I'm with you when you're right
now. Okay, we definitely need to talk about trust because it's too much stuff going to probate.
Absolutely.
And we're losing too much of our stuff because we're not in trust. But we'll talk about that later on.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later on because we got some stuff we're trying to get through. We're trying to educate the public on some stuff. Again, just in case you're joining us with Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, we're in the studio with Dr. Newsom. And the title of our Sunday Conversation is Why Business Education is Crucial for Black Entrepreneurs. All right. Can you walk us through how to choose the right legal structure for your business? EIN. Did we talk about that yet?
No. So, So basically, there's 8 things you have to have in order. Number one is your EIN.
Okay.
That's your Social Security number for your business through the federal government. Then you would need to have your...
I didn't mean to stop, but it's EIN. Say what it is. EIN, what does it stand for? Electronic Identification Number.
I just wanted
to let the people
know. Because,
right? we're using EIN, and the people are like, well, I don't know what EIN is.
Correct. So basically, what it is, it's your Social Security number for your business.
Right.
All right? Through the IRS, the federal government. Then you have your Secretary of State.
Mm-hmm.
That's your LLC, S-Corp, or C-Corp, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I found out that most people here in the South miss. They missed their DUNS number. That's mm-hmm. your Dun and Broad Street number. Okay, mm-hmm. now watch this. So many people come to me and say, Mr. Newsom, I need help getting business funding. I said, okay, well, let's go over your 8 entities. When I get to the DUNS number, they go, well, what is that? I don't even have that. I say, okay, let me keep you simple for you. So understand, when you get your EIN, boom, that's your Social Security for your business.
Mm-hmm.
Your Secretary of State, which is your LLC, is different. You have to have a Social Security number for that. That's your DUNS number, right? So it's just like when you ask that mother, when your child was born, did they get a birth certificate? Yes. Did they get a Social Security number? They usually say yes, but that's not true. You have to apply for a Social Security number. Well, you have to apply for that DUNS number attached to your LLC.
Correct.
Right? And then, of course, a lot of people, what they use is their home address for the address.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not. You either have to have a virtual address or a commercial address.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, cell phone, so forth and so on. That all needs to be in business.
Okay.
I had a guy walked in my office the other day. He had 4 cell phones. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. Which one is your business phone? He said, Mr. Newsom, this one. I said, great, okay. What name is on that bill? He said, my name. You could call it whatever you want, but that's not a business line.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to erase red flags for your new business to make sure you're in position to go get the ultimate goal is business funding.
Mm. I keep hearing layers. We want to layer this thing up.
You're absolutely right. Because each layer is a sense of security for your company. And that's what you want to do.
But I think sometimes in business, we're comfortable in that first layer because it makes sense. We're comfortable with money in our pocket. We're comfortable just doing the basics just to say, hey, I have a business.
Absolutely.
But is the business successful? Is it making money? Are you on vacation making money? Are you sleep making money? It's not just enough to have a business. We need to get down to have successful businesses.
Absolutely.
And this not on the sheet, but a personal question. Has business changed post-COVID?
Absolutely.
How has it changed?
So traditionally, you have so many things that's on a different level. You can use like all these softwares and AI and you know, banks are looking for certain things, and based off in the application, it instantly red flag you, right? Before, it was manually done, right? Now it's generated, automated. So if you don't, listen, you can never win the game if you don't know how to play the rules by the game. And that's where most people fail. They don't know the rules. If you learn the rules of the game, you can always win the game. It don't matter how talented you are. It don't matter how gifted. If you don't know the rules, you can never win.
I say this thing about Columbus. It's something in Columbus called the lay of the land. And you have to know how this city operates to be successful in this city.
I promise you, you're
right. It's the, but you call them rules, I call them lay of the land.
Okay.
You got to know where to step.
Absolutely.
In business.
Absolutely.
All right, then. Let's go on to our next question. How can small businesses build a presence without a huge marketing budget?
You know, I that's one of the biggest questions when I talk to a new business entity. Is Mr. Newsom, I only have this for my budget and I only have that for my budget, but I need to get my name and my brand out there. Okay, so there's three entities: airway, ground, and social media, right? And in social media, I would just tell people, just ask that person, I need your help.
Mm-hmm.
Like, based off, let's take Facebook for instance, right? Let's say you have 3,000 people on your Facebook as friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the rule is you can have 5,000. So why you don't have 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Why you stop at 3,000? First of all, let's get to 5,000. And it's okay to send out a post and say, I need your help. Now, everybody's not going to apply to it.
Right.
But somebody will apply to it. Well, then you ask them to post for you. So let's say out of them 3,000, 400 people say, you know what? I'll help you.
Mm-hmm.
And you give everybody that same post. Now on their Facebook social media, now they just went out times 400.
Mm-hmm.
Then ground, like old school. We got to get them flyers moving.
Come on now.
Right? We got to get them
flyers. Are flyers still relevant today?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Putting it in somebody's hand. Absolutely.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. And the next, last.
Airway. That's it. Somebody's listening to this right now.
Yes, sir. Matter of fact, because somebody's listening, listen, just in case you're joining us again for Sunday Conversation with the Rileys, entitled, Why Business Education is Crucial for Black Entrepreneurship. And I'm in the studio with Dr. Newsom, and we're talking about a lot of great things for first-time business owners, for people that are already in business, for people that are thinking about going into business. He have a lot of great information, so please stay tuned and listen. So let's talk about tips on using social media and digital marketing effectively.
So, yeah, I touched into that. Another big one is Instagram.
Okay.
See, Instagram, you can set a perimeter that you can spend a little bit based off in the characteristics that you're trying to touch or reach, and pay $15, $20, whatever the case may be, in order to reach that pool of people. So Instagram, I will use very well.
Okay. Now, Mr. Newsom, you're talking about a lot of great and relative information, but I was born in 1968, okay? I'm one of them Andy Griffith babies,
okay.
You know, Erica Kane and all that soap opera with your grandmama and auntie. So let's talk about the people with the gray hair that's trying to get into social media. And, man, we don't even know how to doggone program our phones when we buy it. We got to hand them to the grandkids.
Right,
so
right.
What do we do?
Okay, keep handing it to the grandkids.
Okay, then. All right, then. Keep handing it to the grandkids.
Because, listen, back in the day, it was your credibility in a handshake.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can build your business successful, but mm-hmm. how long would it take? But if I could do one post and reach out 8,000 people, which one would be better?
One post reach 8,000 people.
It makes sense. Whatever makes sense, make dollars.
I think sometimes we as the older generation, we can't be afraid to educate ourselves and step out a little bit and get out that comfort zone.
Correct.
Because that this social media thing, this Instagram and all this other stuff, and Facebook, and there's another thing I look at all the time, TikTok.
Yeah.
But it's kind of new to us, and we kind of, you know, we uncomfortable using stuff like that.
That's right.
And so we really have to step out on faith a little bit. It's impossible to please God without faith. So why customer attention matters more than customer's attention? I love that one.
Residual income.
Where does residual income?
Basically, you do the work one time, get paid for the rest of your life. So when you have that customer coming to your establishment, if you have products or service and they got a great experience, they'll come back. Because of their come back, you had them come in one time. Now they're going to continue to come back. If you want them to come back or not, they're going to come back. That creates residual income. Right?
I like that. Now, I've been in business, I've been in business 23 years, mm-hmm. and I realize in business, and only because I've been in business 23 years, everybody is not my customer.
Correct.
And I understand I have a target customer. And matter of fact, because I understand, most of my customers reflect me.
Absolutely.
Ex-military,
absolutely.
Middle age,
right.
kind of like grounded in their career already, towards the end of their career. And so I understand my target customer. Because I understand my target customer, I automatically have retention with my customers.
Because it's based off of your credibility.
Exactly. They know me. I'm fat. I go to the weddings and,
absolutely.
You know, the funerals absolutely. And all that other stuff. But that's old school.
Well,
isn't
that's
it?
That's still new school is building relationship. If you don't build a relationship, like, you know, building relationship is not for everybody. Some people just come in, get their product service, have a nice day. Thank you very much. Let me pay you my money and I'm out. But there's certain customers, as in the question, why is so important? Them are the ones you build a relationship. And that's what you're referring to, right? That's residual income.
Outstanding. So why is business education so crucial for entrepreneurs? Why should we educate ourselves on business?
Because times change. Daily, weekly, monthly, annually. Times change. And what you learned back in the early 90s is not happening in 2025,
mm-hmm.
right? So you got to always keep that education and that door open to learn new things, right? Because society is not going backwards, it's going forward.
You're absolutely right. Because I'm in the barber field and we have a barber and beauty shop, the model that we have is really an old and outdated model. But because the Holy Spirit is in our salon,
that's right.
It still works for us. But our business has, post-COVID, now barbers, nail techs, and hairstylists are going to something called studio suites.
Correct.
They're renting a small space.
100%.
And that is the direction the business is going.
Or at the house.
Or at the house. Again, but you have to learn who and what are you. But what that does, to me, I think it takes away a little bit from the personal contact and atmosphere of a barbershop.
That's right.
You know, a barbershop, you know, is where we talk noise, we talk about the game, you know,
that's
we play
right.
checkers and chess and all that.
Absolutely.
So it takes away from that barbershop. I mean, as a child,
atmosphere.
Going to the barbershop, that was like a whole event for me.
Correct.
You know, but that has changed. It's still at the Overflow Salon and Barbershop, 1357 Rigdon Road. Come check us out. But that experience has changed now because of the studio suites. But it's a great thing now because now we're having more people become business owners.
Correct.
And so this is a great class because now you need to understand LLC, taxes, entrepreneurship, educating yourself to go to the next level instead of staying on that bottom basic level. So what are some important factors for building a business to last?
Wow. Longevity. So in longevity, right, it's always introducing new products or services in your establishment that you already have currently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you continue to do the same thing day in and day out, you're going to get the same results.
Right.
Right. So if growth is in your mind and you want to go long term, you know, I was telling a story the other day to one of my techs. I said, one thing my grandfather told me that gave me the first shot at entrepreneurship at the age of 13. He was the very first black shoe repair in Wilmington, Delaware. So he brought me and my cousin in. I actually did the books, right? My job was to collect the money, do the books. My cousin's job was to fix the shoes. And at first I didn't understand it. And I asked my grandfather, I said, why am I here? Like, because you ain't really paying me nothing. But he did pay me something, right? Hold on, I hope somebody caught that. He did pay me something. This is what he said. John, because everybody at the in Delaware call me John. He says, long as people are walking, there's a shoe repair place needed. Because everybody can't afford to go buy new shoes. That stuck with me still today. So I said to myself, in all my entrepreneurship, in my business, everybody just can't go out there and buy something new all the time.
Come on.
What am I going to do to keep that person there, to keep them returning, coming back into my company?
Come on.
And show them a benefit why they should be there.
Mr. Newsom was a shoe cobbler. My man. I never would have seen cobbler in your past.
I know that's right.
Man, in case you just don't know, someone who repairs shoes is called a cobbler,
right.
A shoe cobbler.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're just going to put that out for you. Now, Mr. Newsom, Dr. Newsom, is there anything that maybe we didn't cover that you might want to talk about in closing?
You know, I tell people there's four things that you can control when it comes to business. Your loyalty, discipline, commitment, and work ethic. Number one, let's work backwards. No one should ever outwork you.
Mm.
If they do, then it's not yours, it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Commitment. See, a mirror is not for correction, it's for reflection.
Mm.
And you got to commit. See, when you commit, you can't blame nobody else for the failure.
Come on now.
You can only blame one person, that would be you.
Amen.
Right? And you got to be disciplined. See, if you're not disciplined, you're going to be disciplined. That's an action word.
Mm.
You got to be disciplined. If not, you're going to get disciplined.
Mm.
And then most importantly, you got to be loyal. See, you got to be loyal to your dreams and goals and be willing to die for it.
Mm. Come on, man. Come on, man.
Those are the four things that any one person can control.
And you better grab it. You better grab it. Now, the last minute of Sunday Conversation with the Ryle is called the Marriage Minute because I've been married 19 years and I'm madly in love with my beautiful wife. Katasha Riley, 36-24-36. Oh, what a winning hand. But anyway, Mr. Newsom, we need some relationship advice, whether it's relationship with your wife, relationship in business, relationship with friends or family. We just need a couple of seconds of relationship advice.
You know, inform your partner, your wife, your significant other, that the cool thing about my wife been married going on 25 years.
Come on.
Right? She gives me the freedom to actually let me be me. Half of the stuff, she don't understand why I do, but she understands that he's going to do it. See, I don't ask her permission, can I go take out the trash? I know that's my obligation.
Come on now.
I don't ask her to pay the mortgage or the electric bill or water bill. That's my obligation. To put food on the table and to build a legacy for the family, I don't ask permission for that neither.
Come on now.
I inform her what we're doing. The key word was we.
Come on.
All I need you is the support.
Come on. Come on. My wife say, baby, God say you the head, but don't forget I'm the neck.
Correct.
Come on.
And she's 100% supportive.
100%. I can't do it without her. I don't want to do this life without her.
And that's the key.
I don't.
Man, listen, you ain't say nothing wrong.
Nothing.
None.
All right, then. Well, we're going to close it out. Hey, listen, this has been Gerald Riley. This has been Sunday Conversation with the Rileys. Have a blessed week. Peace out.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.